Alright, fucking God help us on this one. Love you so much!
Welcome to the unofficial King Gizzard podcast, the show about the best band in the world. Question mark. I'm Captain Shipwreck.
I'm Professor John P. Weatherclock. Today, we're going to be talking about pre-Giz and early Giz, everything up to the first album and all the bands that the guys were in before King Gizzard. I didn't want to do this, man. Why did you make me do this?
That doesn't seem possible. How the hell? Me? Really? I don't remember what happened. You made me come up with an idea that this wasn't mine, was it?
This was definitely your idea, and you were excited about it, and I was excited for you. And like exercise, I didn't want to do it, but I'm glad I did.
I wouldn't have been hard to talk out of it.
No, this is good.
That's what I meant to say. Yes.
I've learned a lot of things. Just hearing the music of the bands that these guys were in before Giz and hearing early Giz, their first two EPs, is kind of awesome, and it really helps me appreciate where they are right now more than anything.
It does. No, their older sound has grown on me. We can talk about it, but over the course of the process, some of the stuff that I think I had dismissed, I find myself humming alone to myself.
Yes, me too. They're very catchy songs, and we will get into it. Honestly, I expected the least enjoyable part of this to be the pre-bands, but it turns out the most tedious part was just early Giz for me, but I still enjoyed it.
Yeah. It was a challenge, and organizing this episode is a challenge, so I hope we haven't.
We have a public YouTube playlist that's in the show notes to this episode. And basically, we went through all these bands and then the early Giz stuff. And if anyone wants to follow along, there it is. The Houses, Sambro's Automobile, Revolver and Son, Goodnight Owl, Trump Disco, All Mac and Jack, and then the early Giz stuff. It's all in there.
Al Mac and Jack.
What'd I say?
All Mac and Jack. That's what I thought it was until we saw that video we'll talk about soon.
Well, there's some news to talk about first before we get into this pre-Gizdery.
Oh, is there?
Yeah.
It's been
a while. It's been far too long since we had our latest episode. There's a few things. One, I believe it's the full Field of Vision lineup is now announced. I think last time we did an episode, there were only a few bands chosen, but now we got a full lineup going on. I'm going
to
read this.
Yeah, it could continue to change, right?
It could, yeah. I guess later, last year, there were a couple bands dropped out. There were some changes, but this is where it is now. According to the poster in alphabetical order, Acid Yoga, which is not a band, which is Ambrose's mom. Mm-hmm. Angine de Poitrine, the biggest
My
news.
God. Holy shit. I can't believe that we made this happen as a community.
We did. And I actually just saw an article yesterday where they were interviewed and they said that Giz was an influence on them, especially Flying Microtonal Banana.
Yeah, of course.
Blood Incantation, that was already on. Bull Ant, that's Joey's DJ name. I'm very excited about that. I hope it's at 2 in the morning. We got also new Cavs Gong Bath. What is a gong bath?
Man, I don't want to admit that I've ever been to such an event. And so I haven't, but I'll tell you exactly what it's like. But you get in a room and there are like gongs and the sound washes over you. And in my experience in like yoga studios, for example, in America, generally everyone just goes to sleep. And I'm not sure what like most people are into about it exactly, except that usually they live a life where no one lets them sleep ever. And so they're allowed to sleep on the floor, on the hard floor of a yoga studio while someone's gonging.
But there's a difference in this one, a big difference. Mm. A big 6'2" difference.
And that's God, is he that tall?
I have no idea. I don't know. As far as I can tell, they're all between 6'6" and 7'12".
That's what I thought.
Okay, next. Detrends? I don't know.
They're cool.
Cool.
Sorry, we'll talk about that later.
Die Spitz. I'm doing the German pronunciation. Die Spitz.
Die Spitz. Mm-hmm.
DJ Boogie Bordeaux. DJ Crenshaw. Earth Tongue, cool. Folk Bitch Trio, Jay Weinberg's Drum Clinic, Jello Biafra, who is now recovering from a stroke, and it sounds like he's doing well.
Jesus, really?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
He's finally talking again.
Oh God.
Yeah. Jonathan Toobin's Soul Clap and Dance Off. King Gizzard's playing there every day, in parentheses.
That's worth going for.
La Luz, which is great. Lisa Belladonna, Patty Gonia, Primitive Ring, Shayna Cleveland, Space Mouth, Upchuck, Will Sprout, and Witch.
Space Moth.
Space Moth, sorry, Space Moth.
You're Upchuck, a Space Mouth.
Will Sprout.
You Upchuck Witch, from your Space Mouth.
Now that's Witch, W, full stop, I, full stop, etc. There's another Witch. So that's huge. And
Witch.
Witch, not Witch. Witch. And I noticed that single day passes for Friday and Saturday are already sold out.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe, you know, maybe this will be the first time it's sold out fully. I think that'll happen.
The Billy Strings sit-in rumors are totally unfounded and building. And if it builds any more, then surely all the Billy motherfucking Strings band fans will buy the last tickets available.
I will buy another ticket.
Great.
Just to make sure I'm doubly there.
Yeah, can't be too careful, I find.
Okay, this is going to be fun. Man, it's coming soon. It's already...
Have you listened to any of these bands? I put this at the end of my show notes in terms of other music that we are listening to, but do you want to wait to talk about it? Do you have anything to say about any of these bands?
I do. I've listened to several of them. King Gizzard, probably at the top of the list.
Who's that again?
Oh, wait. Did I? Is it...
Who? Which Gizzard?
Lizard and the Lizard.
Yeah, I'm familiar.
There's more news. According to the guys on Instagram, the new album is done. The new Giz album is done.
Holy shit.
And this is the audio from that clip. And I assume this is what's on the album. But that might not be what's on the album. Wouldn't it be funny?
It's not enough information
that's what
for
they
me
did.
Anymore.
And that's what
so
they posted,
more.
And then the album was a bluegrass album. But it's a video of all the Nathan innards and outards. Being that it's May now, the month of May, it's very possible that we don't get this until August. They like to do, you know, singles and videos and then do pre-release with vinyl purchases, and we really might not hear this until August.
I think that seems like the safest prediction is maybe a video or two in the lead up to a release as the tour, in quotes, as six shows of a tour are going to happen.
Yeah, they do like to time it with tours. Leaks.
Leaks, leaks.
Please.
Yeah, well, sure. I admit nothing. Do we also have a microtonal Deathgrass album coming?
There was a video posted. So what was it, over a month ago, where a fan was in the studio, posted some videos of the guys with Billy Strings. He held on to a video until recently and posted a new video of Billy Strings playing the banjo with the guys in the studio and Joey excitedly singing. But that was from the original studio times.
About Cavs doing a death, if it's like a metal drum slappy knee foot pattern to Billy playing along.
Mm-hmm. It's, you think we're going to get an album or just like a couple songs?
I think we're going to get an album.
Oh, and not as part of the electronic album.
I don't think so.
Yeah, that's what I think. And I'm hoping too. But speaking of albums, mm-hmm. Cavs album fully came out. Was it April 24th? It's cool. You and I live, what, 2,000 miles apart, and yet we happen to be in the same place geographically and maybe even spiritually at the time mm-hmm. this album came out.
That's right.
It's great. It's Dude, so cool.
There are now three videos. Three? No, two.
Yeah, there are three.
Three videos, and it's an amazing album. I think it's great, especially I'm a sucker for Deathbat. I think we agreed on that.
Yeah, Deathbat is great. And it's the one, it kind of stands out. It's unlike the other songs, but they're all instrumental, harp, lute, saxophone. It's so good vibes.
Yeah, right. It's very vibey, as you and the kids say. It's of a piece. It feels like a very consistent sound.
And then the other minor news, I hope it's minor, Stu has a leg injury.
Yeah.
We saw, where did we see this? That Stu's wearing a boot.
Instaplams.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
probably from trying to do backflips or skateboarding with Ambrose. But we
I would
know.
Think that he and Ambrose and Billy Strings and Jason Galea were in a skateboarding competition.
Right, Billy Strings broke his leg too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's a sympathetic leg break.
Oh,
little guys.
Okay, let's get into pre-history. So, one thing that's really helpful is I found this interview that Andy Frasco did with Stu, and I found it through Bootleg Gila on YouTube, who has done some amazing videos and has done great work. And you know what? If someone just wants to ask for donations, it's not a big deal. They're not charging you. Like, it's cool. You can give them money and be cool about it.
We've gotten so much money already off of this podcast, and I don't personally feel any shame about that. When I bought my third house based on the income from this podcast, I didn't think for a minute of sending a dime to the band that I love so much, who's done all the real work here.
Yeah. Yeah. This has been quite a windfall, this podcast. We're not asking for donations, but at one point, the person behind Bootleg Gila was, and people got real mad about it. And why? Anyway, they're a great resource on YouTube. And so this interview, Andy Frasco asked Stu about some of the early days.
So we're all Australian, but we're all kind of from around different parts. I would say, like, as a general backstory, everyone knew each other before the band. Some people for longer time periods. I've known Cookie and Ambrose since we were teenagers, and Lucas since we were teenagers, actually, as well. And then Cavs and our old drummer, Eric, they went to school together. They're from a completely different part of town. I grew up on the coast in a surfy kind of town. Lucas was from Geelong, which is the main satellite city of Melbourne, I guess. None of us are from Melbourne, I guess, is where I'm getting with all this. We're all kind of country kids, really. And then we met in Melbourne, living there and becoming mutual friends. And we're all playing different bands. And at the start, King Gizz was the fun band. It was the band that it was kind of jammy and loose, and we didn't really practice. We just would, and it was the membership was fluid. People would come along and just play one show, or we tried to make a band where you could play. If you didn't even know the songs, or you didn't even know any of the members, you would be able to join and play a show. And that's kind of the early version of Gizzard was that. But yeah, the seven that stuck around for a long time before Eric left the band or whatever, we're just the seven people who, I don't know, just thought that concept had validity, maybe. Everyone else was I'm out of here. This is stupid. So yeah, in that sense, it was never really a put together band. That's kind of why we got to sort of two drummers, three guitarists, harmonica. This weird instrumentation makes no sense. We play weird genres and shit. It just happened, you know. It just spontaneously formed, which I like, and it's always felt a nice fluid energy of Gizzard.
One of the things I found interesting about that was Stu saying that Giz was the fun band and the loose one, and the people just came and go, and the idea was that you didn't have to know the songs to be able to play with them.
Right. No practice.
No practice. And hearing the other bands that the guys were in comparison to Gizz, I see it now, because those other bands were actually more refined.
Considered.
Yeah, very much.
Right.
Starting with The Houses, which was a band from about 2005 to 2010, with Lucas and Stu and Cavs, and then Adamson.
Blaze. I thought Blaze, but that makes more sense.
Blaze Adamson. Blaz Adamson singing.
Right.
Really nice voice. What do you think about The Houses?
She goes on to lead a group called Hot to Rot in Melbourne. Right. I just heard a few songs. Fun, Rotten Apples was the first one that I listened to in our playlist. I thought it was cute. I liked Stu on Background Scream. Fun sounds surprisingly tight for an early project, which is what you're saying. Yeah, right. Upbeat, fun song, kind of poppy for the era. Super cute. I'm a sucker for you in the kitchen, in the bedroom. Sorry, in the bathroom, in the bedroom. I found it super charming.
Yeah, The Houses is good, and I was kind of surprised to hear it.
Yeah, right, yeah.
Really good singing. Obviously, she is a talented singer and musician. I'm not sure if Stu is singing at all. Lucas is singing quite a bit, background singing. Did it sound like Stu to you?
Yeah, it sounds like Stu is specifically on background scream.
Mm-hmm. And then Agreed. Another song that I want to play a clip of was, it's called A Baby Was Born, which is kind of a more southern bluesy rock catchy. Like, I would see this band if they were in town.
Yeah, Stu's rhythm actually has some pretty delicate intricacies on this song. Again, more cool harmonies, a little more of a like driving rhythm style solo also to finish the song. Again, we've heard this before, but Stu was known in his scene for being a guitarist. And in a few of these projects, he's much more of a guitarist than anything else.
And then developed into a singer and an acrobat.
Yes. Yeah. Help or Hinder is also in the playlist if anyone wants to check that out. It's a bit more surf rocky, bass forward. I thought it was very like the Strokes style poppy. Stu with some echoey, distorted, psych-ish sounding solo. And I don't know what the definitive meaning of psych is, but I feel like it's making noises with your instruments or audio tools that they may or may not have been intended to make. Because it sounds crazy.
It's so psychedelic.
Yeah.
That's The Houses from 2005 to 2010. Good band. And
so.
Another good band next, Sam Bros Automobile. Ambrose and Lucas were in this band. This was 2007 to 2014, so, you know, going into Giz. This is a good band. Modern blues rock. I'm not sure who the singer is, but he's a talented singer and guitar player.
Yeah. Sam Cooper? Is that the...
It would make sense that his name is Sam.
I think it is. I think it's Sam Cooper. He didn't stay in music. I think he moved into production engineering side of the industry. Seems he founded a group called Resonance Audio, which I don't know really anything about. Stu produced their main release, the Lamb Roast Sandwich EP, 2010, which is a super, I think, Dylan-esque sounding album.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I like them.
Yeah, Love Tree is one of the songs in our playlist, a live version. And Ambrose is great on that harmonica at, he's 5 years old? No. How old
is he?
He's
kind of good at harmonica. Yeah, 13, 12.
And this, so Lucas was in both of these bands, both The Houses and Sam Bros Automobile, I assume at the same time.
Yeah, right. There's a lot of overlap between these projects.
And Lucas was doing a lot more singing back then.
Yeah, a lot. It's surprising, sort of. He sits so far in the background now. You see this Open Lake Festival clip? Just very good. Guitar-driven, straight bluesy. Seems like Ambi is mostly just playing the harmonica. You hear little bits of him in backgrounds, but a lot of harmonica overshadowing the overall tapestry of their sound.
You're saying he wasn't singing in Sam Bros Automobile?
No.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, that's a good point. And then with the early stuff, the King Gizzard EPs, he wasn't singing much either.
But, right.
Which is amazing, because isn't he the best singer in the band?
He's the best singer in the band. Yeah, just technically, I don't think there's any question.
Cavs.
Oh, except for Cavs. But, yeah. I mean, no one who doesn't have their own singing podcast.
Agreed. So the next band is Revolver and Sun, S-U-N, 2008 to 2011. This was Stu And Cookie playing the bass in Revolver and Son.
Right. Frazier Gorman, I guess. How do you say? Geelong?
Geelong.
Geelong. Really? There's so many E's in there.
I think that's how Sue said it in that interview.
Okay. So it's like right across.
Oh, did he say Geelong? Oh, shoot. I can't remember already. Oh, my God.
Geelong.
Well, we're never going to get our Australian
like,
visas now.
It's a long way from Melbourne. It's not long at all. I think it's like an hour drive.
Right.
But it seems like there are these two scenes that converge. There's like kind of a Melbourne scene and kind of a Geelong scene. Hard G at the end. Anyway, I guess Frazier Gorman was one of the first artists signed to Flightless, Eric's label. Originally the band's label, then Eric's label.
But who is this?
He is lead vocal guitar for Revolver and Son. And he's the like Dylan-y looking dude.
Very Dylan-y at the time. Yeah, we have a few clips in here, including Stu playing acoustic in an abandoned house with what seems like an American guy singing a blues song, a guy just known as Dennis.
No, he yells with a thick accent that I assumed was not from our side of the ponds.
Hi, okay.
Yeah, he seems like, I don't know, local ruffian, maybe. Proves to be a tough act for Frazier to follow. Frazier does eventually sing in the video, but Dennis has the chops. At least when he's got his beer in hand, which I believe gives him special strength. And Dylan looking exactly like Bob Dylan. Sorry, Frazier looking exactly like Bob Dylan sort of walks circles around Stu trying to ad lib, maybe. Cookie's not holding a bass guitar, though he plays bass in the band, but resigns himself to playing the horse / yoga blanket in this particular video.
Stu's a good guitar player.
He's a good guitar player. By the way, this is, I don't know if you have one, but this was my drip of the day. He just looks fantastic.
Stu does,
in this video. Yeah, he's wearing this like thick brown, red, gold wool jacket, sweater, t-shirt underneath, and this fantastic blue scarf tasseled bandana. Great look.
Yeah, he had it. I mean, throughout Revolver and Son, actually, there he was doing some good stuff fashionistically.
Fashionistic.
We have some more. We have some live performances of Revolver and Son. Petri Dish, which is a pretty blues rock, like 60s blues rock. Is shredding on a Fender Strat, it looks like. This is so funny that like these guys gravitated towards, maybe especially Stu, gravitated towards like an older style of music, 60s blues rock, surf rock, early punk, whereas some of these like other bands did not do that, like Goodnight Owl that we're going to get into. Trump Disco, much more modern.
So again, and so much Bob Dylan from Stu and company. Petri Dish feels like almost a straight Maggie's Farm tribute to me.
Totally. Yeah. And we get another song from that show, same show, Chains to Our Bones.
Oh, that's true. It says here that I listened to that. Yeah, Stu soloing along to straight blues rock.
And one thing I do want to mention.
Sorry. Yes, do. I wish you would.
Is the Revolver and Son song Crying, which became a King Gizzard song, which showed up on Ottomans.
See what's happening?
Here's the Revolver and Son version. Here's the King Gizzard version. Same song.
Did you see the Shake Your Daughter video?
Man, I think I did.
Just some great, all three members wearing these 70s style psychedelic print, full like polyester button-ups. It's a good look.
Again, this, they were going back to a previous time in their looks, and it's... I wonder why. What inspired that?
Oh, it's so important, by the way, to mention in the Petri Dish video that we've posted in this playlist, Stu's mullet slash rat tail. quite pleasing.
Stu has gone through many hairstyles.
Yeah.
And so has Joey, and we should get that.
Oh, my God. That's true. So has Lucas.
You know the story of Samson, of course, from the Old Testament. Maybe there's a relationship between Lucas and his hair and singing rather than strength.
Mm-hmm. I think that's right.
You gotta wonder.
I always have wondered.
We have
and
wondered.
And I meant to watch the Samson and Delilah story for this episode, and I'm sorry I didn't get around to it.
Sambrose and Delilah.
Sambrose and Delilah.
The next band is called Goodnight Owl and seems to have gone from 2008 to 2011. It's a very 2008 sound. So yeah. Both Joey and Eric were in this chill, acoustic, modern folk, kind of like Belle and Sebastian. This is what I would call sad bastard music.
Yeah, right. Yeah, like whiny. There's like, yeah, this like high pitched men's indie tone to singing in this period.
And it was very close to like in that time, 2008-ish, there was this the kind of overly sincere stomp clap situation happening. So like here's a clip of the song Stale Bread with Joey on xylophone.
Oh, fried. We'll start smelling when my eyes seek out the rodent's skin.
Yeah, you can find the video on our playlist. Joey wearing an oversized cream-colored sweater, knit sweater.
Wonderful, ultimate, sensitive, nice guy sweater with the rolled-up sleeves. And everything suggests a true gentleman, except for the upside-down cross medallion around his neck.
Mm-hmm. And the fact that he almost certainly urinated on that xylophone.
Yuck. That's my kid has had that same xylophone since he was two. It's truly just a kid's xylophone.
That, why not? That was probably their chillest song. Maps and Compasses is a song that clearly has EDM influences, I'm guessing, from Joey.
When you withdraw.
Real music video.
Yes. I incredible, right? Super like postal service-y.
Mm-hmm.
And again, classic 2000s high pitchy folk voice. Higher produced electronic sound, drum machine-y stuff. Joey, Eric, and Bella. This is Joey's sister,
is it?
Right? I think it is Joey's sister who is playing the melodica in Stale Bread. I don't know if everyone knows what a melodica is, but it's like a keyboard that you blow into, often with a tube attachment.
Get the crumbs out?
You have to, yeah, right. Instead of forced air, you just force air. By the way, they're in this cool gazebo in Stale Bread that turns out to be the Temple of the Winds in Fitzroy Gardens in Melbourne that they're playing in. And so I took this as a sign that this was the right band, because when I first saw this video, I wasn't sure.
Absolutely.
If this was actually the right band. But then in this Maps and Compasses, someone, I don't know if they're lost in the forest, Joey, Eric, and Bella are either chasing Eddie through the forest or luring him through the forest. They lure him to the water with the old throw the shoes towards the water trick, which seems to successfully achieve him drowning in the water.
Oh man, classic trick. I wonder if this is the same forest that all the Giz, so many Giz videos are from.
Oh, I hope so. Yeah, right. Maybe the Grow Wings and Fly Forest, they call it now.
That's what I'm thinking, yeah. We have some live footage of a song called Ice Age with Joey on guitar. I think he's using his xylophone mallet a little bit on the guitar, and then he plays xylophone again in full. Makes me wonder, why haven't we seen live xylophone performances from King Gizzard?
Yet.
Yet. Yeah, yet. It's bound to happen.
Right. It's bound to happen. Eddie in the squeakiest of falsettos, Eric on drums, Bella keeping her synth to the far side of the stage away from Joey's piss stream.
Mm-hmm.
she has to know how it goes. And again, like super too early, like 2000s-y kind of Sufjan-y, neutral, milky, gentle tone building to like loud maudlin finales.
Sufjan-long, not Sufjan.
Sufjan?
Sufjan. The next band, Trump Disco, one word, Trump Disco. To 2013. As far as I can tell, this is EDM. This is Joey. He's the only member. And no, I love this.
Alex Braithwaite.
With Alex Braithwaite. I love this music video for Cut and Paste. Which
my
is
God.
The collaboration with Airwolf. I'm not sure who this is.
I mean, do yourself a favor. Even if you don't listen to this podcast, you need to go see this video.
Right. I think people who don't listen to this will probably go find our playlist.
It's important. Yeah. It's important. This is magnificent. What are these, like Latin American or like native people, like American Americans and some European style Americans line dancing?
Mm-hmm.
A very like American hillbilly, like gold miner.
Yep.
It's incredible.
The video's
love
great.
This
video. Song is good.
Yeah.
This might be my favorite pre-Giz song.
There's a TV or some Chirons coming up next. I mean, this is like an AI headline. Our residential environmentalist takes us on a journey of our nation's great squirrels. Saturday nights on Channel 81.
They don't have squirrels there.
See what I mean?
This is true. Let me tell you something. I was in Denver with some coworkers, Denver, Colorado, United States, with some coworkers from Australia. And we were outside for a walk and they saw squirrels and they lost their minds. The Australians, not the squirrels. And they said, oh my gosh, I'm not going to do the accent. Are those squirrels? I was like, yeah, of course we have squirrels. Why are you excited? You guys have kangaroos. And they said, oh, kangaroos are no good layabouts. They just come in your yard and eat your fruit. But squirrels, it was delightful.
Squirrels definitely do that.
Layabout.
Yeah, they lay about. They steal things and chew on things they shouldn't.
There's another artifact of Trump Disco that I want to talk about, which is this interview with Joey. And what was the other guy's name?
The other guy's name is Alex, I'm going to say Braithwaite.
Alex Braithwaite.
Braithwaite.
A wonderful interview where Joey talks about being romantically interested in his hairdresser, which is important because his hair is tall and front-facing.
You are single as a young hairdresser you quite like, from what I can ascertain.
It's very awkward right now.
Yeah.
What's going to happen? Well, I got a haircut last week.
I've seen what you've done. You've gone there
so you
can meet girls at hairdressers.
Exactly. You know, you're like, that hairdresser loves me. Like, she's really talking to me. She thinks like she wants me.
Yeah.
But then they're just like, as soon as you leave, they're just like... It was disgusting.
It's like thinking if Stripper likes you.
Yeah.
To be honest, I think there may be one that's kind of into me at the moment.
Yeah. Well, that could be where you might find the love.
I hope so. She's interesting.
I am also in love with Joey's hairstylist. His towering 80s hair mess is a great achievement. Also, some interesting tension about Joey's computers deleting themselves and having to reproduce things.
The WAV files, or I would call them WAV files.
WAV.
WAV.
What's up, WAV? That sounds more British now.
The next band before Giz. Say it now.
Al Mac and Jack. Sorry. See what you did to me? Al Mac and Jack.
Al Mac and Jack. A-L-M-A-C-K-N-J-A-K. Nope, that wasn't it. Alma.
Nope.
I can't
Al.
Do it.
A-L. Almo Troop. Al. Mac. Stewie Mac. And Jack Robbins. And so it's Jack. Al Mac. Jack. Al Mac and Jack.
This is only a little more than a year, it seems like. This a trio with Stu on guitar and sometimes vocals. They had a studio cut, like this song, Follow Me Down.
Yes.
Which kind of reminds me of some early Giz, their later Giz stuff. Like, is this a Phrygian mode in the song?
That's what I'm sure it is. That's okay. What I thought immediately when I wasn't asking myself that question.
Swallow the sun, we'll drink from the fountain. Follow me.
But I think more importantly about Al Mac and Jack.
Yeah, quite
is
important.
This 10-minute live performance with the trio at some stage in a field where no one is watching them.
Not at all. It's incredible. So if that the drummer singing is also singing lead, is that, I forget now if that's Al or Jack doing kind of a Jimi Hendrix singing impression. Stu very much the lead guitar blues man style, but then hey, he walks over to take over keyboards while the keyboardist runs, everything's running to grab the bass. Then they all go punk. Stu jumps on the bassist's back, but they both keep playing, with Stu playing the guitar with drumsticks now, I think? A drumstick now. The drummer, yes, says, "We're Al, Mac, and Jack. I'm Jack, that's Mac, and that's Al." This one's called Train Station Blues, he said. It's kind of a dancey number. Stu puts down the guitar, runs to get drumsticks, plays drums now for a sec, passably, I should say.
But like as Animal from the Muppets.
But not bad. There's like some combination of like almost genuine drum playing and trying to break the drums. Then Stu's on fucking harmonica.
Yes, but not just on harmonica, on the drummer's shoulders while the drummer is standing at the mic. And the bassist is playing bass and the kick drum at the same time.
Jack then leaves the drum kit again. They trade mics back and forth for no reason. And then, yeah, Stu mounts Jack and harmonicas while Jack sings some silly shit.
Very silly shit.
Yeah.
And Stu also plays the rom-toms very poorly while standing and jumping and spinning. So much spinning.
So much spinning. Probably should mention Stu's like 70s style red gold shirt dress.
What happened to his fashion? He, you know, he's a dad now, I guess.
Jack back to drums, Stu back on guitars now. No, wait, spinning, playing the front stage, right, Rototom drum kit. No, wait, tambourine better. Stu back on drums now, Jack on keyboards. Looks really tiring. They're working hard up there. Harder than they need to. And I found this very interesting as a transition, because this is our last pre-Giz band. And there is a lot happening on this stage. Everyone is trying to do a little bit of everything. And it seems like the more effective way to do that is to have 7 people all on stage doing different things than to have 3 people on stage trying to run around and do different things. And I feel like the effect was solved by putting together a slapdash, ever-changing cast of characters who would doggedly avoid practice and obstinately decide to call themselves King Gizzard and the Lizard Wizard.
I think you're right, and I think that the great leaders know how to delegate instead of doing everything themselves.
Yeah, right.
And so
yeah.
That's what happened. And this is, you know, when King Gizzard started. We have a video of an early show with no Ambrose, but we have Eric standing and playing drums in an empty seated theater. And when was this? 2010?
This is Ants and Bats.
This starts with Ants and Bats.
Yeah. Everyone, right, that's right. No Cookie? Yeah. But anyway, surf rock, blues, dark, Stray Cats kind of sound.
Ants and Bats shows up on Teenage Gizzard, which is a bootleg Gizzard album. Ants and Bats kind of showed up at Field of Vision. Did you know that?
No.
Yes, there was, I mean, good for the KGLW.net setlist people for notating that inside of Ice 5 on night 2 was an Ants and Bats jam.
Shit. How about that?
Yeah, it's there. That's it.
Wow. That's cool. I didn't have the sensitivity to sense that at that time.
Well, I remember hearing Ants and Bats only a couple times. And then when I saw it on the set list after Field of Vision, I was like, what the fuck is that? Really? That was in Ice 5? And it, you can argue that it's just some baseline, but it sounds like Ants and Bats.
Is it then, in Bootleg Gila or, sorry, see what they've done to me? Bootleg Gila or, who is the person who has, like, also a history of King Gizzard as some sort of cat anime creature?
Yes, you sent me that music reviewer from YouTube who I guess, just, like, presents themselves as their persona?
It's an amazing video, actually.
Oh, it's great. It's wonderful.
Yeah, it's really good. So I forget where I picked up that this is a school performance. So they're in school at the, what's the name of the school? The, I don't know, Melbourne Technology something mm-hmm. Institute, where they're yeah. learning about the music industry together, and the Geelongian scene is merging with the Melburnian scene. And maybe this is like a final project or something. They're maybe in the school auditorium.
That makes sense. It looks like a small school theater.
And then Joey's hair is just a very different kind of big now. It's also big, but it's entire, like, a lot more time. I mean, not just than the last haircut, but then maybe than anyone spends with a blow dryer.
Let me tell you something. I'm going to tell you something. As someone with curly hair, it took me until my late 20s to realize that it didn't have to be just, I didn't have to try to comb it and make it straight and poofy like Joey does. You can just, like, figure out a way to actually let the curls happen. And Joey has since developed into that. Clearly, my wife and daughter appreciate men with curly hair.
Yeah, I mean, for those who are not watching the video version of this podcast, I'd point out that the professor has a single Superman curl hanging to the left side of the forehead, which just, if you were to spend time doing that, it's worth it. And if you didn't spend time doing that, then I salute you. Eric is already on a standing kit.
Yes.
He's always been the second drummer.
Yeah. Oh, so clearly. Yes. He's waiting. He's watching Cavs at every moment, trying to figure out what to do.
Cavs who gets to sit. A lot of monkey singing. Monkeying. It's not really singing. Monkey, I guess you call that chattering when it's
howling.
Performed in a proper jungle.
Life is Cool is a song that I like.
Yeah, Life is Cool. Then you die. Stick a needle in your eye because it's fun. Then you crash, slit your wrist, slice your neck.
We'll be right back.
This is Lucas singing with Stu, and this one is
so
also
much Lucas
on,
singing.
Yeah, this is also on Teenage Gizzard. The another song, Love For Me, more Lucas and Stu singing.
Stu and Lucas duet. Stu starts, but then changes his mind and stops to fix a pedal, so instead Lucas starts. So it's really very, very, very fucking loose.
Quite loose. I hope they got a good grade on this, because, boy.
Is there a teacher? They have a strict amount of time, I think, that they're allowed for this performance, which is why someone from the audience could be a teacher? Whoever's in charge of this says, you know, you got 5 more minutes, Stu. 5 minutes.
How is this part of, like, a senior dissertation for music industry studies?
It may not be that. By the way, within 5 minutes, they have no problem fitting 2 songs in.
Oh, God. I like the song, Oh God, is different. It's less surfy, less garagey. It's simple. Something about it reminds me of some Mind Fuzz stuff.
Incredible lyrics. All of these songs are short enough, basically, that we can review all the lyrics. Sermon, pastor, worship choir, gospel church, your merry preacher, doctrine, damu, fucking no idea, baptize, healer, psalm, priest says, oh God, Jesus says, die.
I couldn't understand it. I'm glad you looked it up.
No, I didn't look it up.
Wow, amazing.
Other side? Is the last of the songs, which also there's plenty of time for within 5 minutes after another song. Almost like a shaving a haircut kind of Bo Diddley rhythm going mm-hmm. on.
Yeah, it sounds like a blues rock garage song. Very 60s to me, but stealing from something like a real blues guy.
He's either not playing or he's just trying to create feedback mm-hmm. kneeling at his pedals and amp.
Yeah, which is, he passed that on to Ambrose. Mm-hmm. It's interesting listening to this and thinking about what Stu said about how anyone could come and go from this band, although I never have seen anyone come and go except for Eric. That this, like, style, this idiom of music is so easy to play that I get it. Like, they wanted to make sure it was so simple that anyone can join, although no one did join, as far as I know.
I've never seen any clips of anyone else in the band.
Yeah. Now, there is a release from Bootleg Gizzard called Teenage Gizzard, which includes early stuff, studio stuff, and in the middle of that is really the band's first EP, Anglesea.
Right.
On Teenage Gizzard is Hey There, Ants and Bats, Sleep, Summer, Eddie Cousin, Fried, Good to Me, Tomb Beach, Trench Foot, and Life is Cool. And in the middle is their first EP, which was exactly 12 minutes long. How do you want to go through this?
I just thought we'd go through it in the order of Teenage Gizzard, even though we're going to take a visit through... we're saying Anglesea? Anglesea? Anglesea?
And the letters... It's L-E, not E-L, so Anglesea?
Makes sense, I guess. I mean, unless it's not at all pronounced that way.
Very likely. It could be a soft G.
I had a few of these performances just noted down that now I don't remember which. Oh, I do remember which. I don't know. This unknown song, I guess I can move this jacket note to go where I know it goes now. But there's this song, I don't know, where Stu is just... The live performances are really a fucking mess. And you really get a sense of that's like what they're supposed to be.
Yeah.
It's like aggressive, irreverent. But there are these dynamics that I feel are a consistent theme in this album where you kind of slow to a driving beat and then you explode. I feel like these songs do sound cool on their recorded, produced versions, but I feel like they were made for a live effect where you sort of lull the audience with a genuine rhythm of some kind and then just explode all over the fucking place, and then in spite of yourself you can't help but succumb to it. It kind of like gets into your bones, and you've got just so much monkey. What did you call it? Howling monkey chatter. Mm-hmm. Stu really, this is where he develops like the technique of becoming one with the microphone. Like, can he put it all the way down his esophagus and while screaming, squirting water all over the crowd from his mouth? So, that's okay.
Don't do that
in Australia. I don't like that. How has no one ever lost an eye, by the way, to Stu's guitar strings?
Woof.
I don't know. I worry about things. Yeah, do you worry about things?
I worry about Ambrose.
By the way, Teenage Giz with Anglesey is a whopping 30 minutes, 29, 27.
These songs, none of them, do any of them reach 3 minutes? I don't remember.
Yes, they do.
But I think you raised a good point. Like, I wonder if this style of music was for them, or at least to a reaction to things like the Sad Bastard music,
yeah,
or the overly sincere music of that time. I could see that, because it's a curious decision, knowing what some of their backgrounds are and knowing that they were capable,
yeah, right,
of really thoughtful, beautiful music.
Yes.
This,
yes,
is a very clear decision that they made to freak out.
Yeah, exactly. It really changes your perspective on what this period represents, to see that they are not at all incapable on their instruments. They have a lot of sophistication on their instruments. They just want to make a hot fucking glorious mess.
They sure did. God. Okay, Teenage Gizzard.
Yeah.
Hey there. Hey there. Mm.
350, see, for example.
Unmemorable. 3 minutes and 50 seconds for me. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I don't have a lot to say about it. Again, just that it feels, this one in particular, I felt like it wants to be live. Mm. It's designed to be live, but it was allowed to be recorded. And a lot of these were never meant to be released. I don't think they were ever designed to be released. They were unearthed as a part of the bootlegger program. Mm. That there were these recordings that turned out to exist out there that weren't fodder for an album. This is not Giz's first album. This is some shit that was pulled together and released.
Ants and Bats, we talked about. That's the next song on Teenage Gizzard.
Yeah, we did. Thailand is wacky, God bless you, as always, who in so many ways makes this podcast possible, points out the descending chromatic bass line is very close to Pink Floyd's Money.
No. Sure, yeah. Should we have Thailand on Is Wacky on here?
I'd be delighted and intimidated. I mean, yeah, I would love that. That would be fucking amazing. I don't know, sir, fine, gentle person, sir and or madam, whoever you may be. That'd be incredible. I'd love to know how the hell you've achieved all the things you have on KGLW.net, which is just a masterwork of devotion to this glorious band.
The next song on Teenage Gizzard is Sleep.
Sure is.
Awesome.
I got up early, and you've gotten me up too. And you pull me under, and you say, my leg. But I don't want to go back to sleep again. But I don't want to. Stay like this for 5 more minutes, and you always sleep. Before the day goes, it's time to wake up.
I have that tattooed on my lower back. The next song, Summer. What do you think about Summer?
Why would you... What am I supposed to know? The summer's hot. It's mean. Summer, to me, green grass won't last. Sky blue.
Yeah,
me too.
This is a 6/4 muddy water. It's mean summer to me.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, sure it is.
It is. It's cool and hot and mean. Yeah, when I heard these lyrics, I was like, "What's these are the Muddy Water lyrics, but this time signature is different, I believe."
Yeah. Eddie's Cousin is the first song that is now the EP.
Yeah, was it not originally?
Well, in the sense that it's not the first song on Teenage Giz, but no. We have now, although it's the fifth song in this discussion via Teenage Giz, it's the first song on the EP, Anglesey.
EP, right. Which came out March 18th, 2011. So EP, I don't know why people were doing that. Extended play. It just means it's a short, short album. It's not a LP, a long play. This was before Willoughby's Beach. This clocked in at a monstrous 12 minutes for all the songs.
Yeah.
Exactly 12 minutes.
Eddie's Cousin is the first time I'm clearly hearing ambi harmonies.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. This was, I think, the single, not officially, but like the most popular song off of Anglesey.
I say, oh, I say, I say, oh, I say, oh, 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 yes, but what does it mean?
What does it mean?
Ambi said, I was the last to join the band. When I saw these guys play, I knew it was going to be something. I remember standing there with Jamie Harmer, and we were talking about when you were playing Eddie Cousin. We were all in these bands at the time, and everyone was trying to be like Bob Dylan. Everyone wanted to be this 16-year-old bohemian singer-songwriter, all very mature. Stu just came out of nowhere playing three chords, and everyone was going crazy. It had the energy, the thing everyone was lacking. It's hard to grasp unless you've seen it in the flesh.
That's cool. That's from Ambrose?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's neat. The next song on Anglesey is Fried, which I like.
Yeah, me too. More straight surf rock guitar, but of course with monkeys screaming.
With monkeys and some of guitar effects throughout this album, which would you hear persist in live versions of King Gizzard. This effect, this spring reverb effect that you often hear between songs is throughout this early stuff.
Yeah, right. Dynamics, again, driving the tone of Giz slow and fast and then slow and fast. And the screaming, dissolving into a Giz mess, then back into something almost cohesive. Mm-hmm. And then back into a mess again. And then ending with some effect left on someone's guitar for a little while.
That's it. Yep. The next song on Anglesey is Good to Me, which is maybe more of a love song, but I definitely hear some of the future psychedelia on this.
Ambi backup would definitely seem to be a background female vocal if I didn't know Ambi is Ambi.
Mm-hmm. Probably a higher pitch than the singer of the Houses.
Yes, sometimes. This sounds like a beautiful lady singing. Yeah, I just want to.
He is a beautiful lady. I
kiss him.
I've seen him. He can wear a dress like a motherfucker.
In fact, as we all know, motherfuckers are wont to do.
The last song on Anglesey is Tomb Beach, which I kind of think is the most interesting song on the EP. It's not surf punk. It's kind of weird. It's slow. It's psychedelic. It has more than three words, for example.
Extra effect on the harp, almost making it sound like one of these otter, like horned instruments that will happen in Giz at later times.
You say otter or odder?
Odder. Like an otter? I don't know if you've ever squeezed an otter into a microphone, but it produces a similar effect.
The harp. Harmonica.
This one may be written by Stu with Lucas, though Timeland is Wacky believes this to be an error of some kind.
And that's where Anglesey ends. from Teenage Gizzard, but there are two more songs on Teenage Gizzard. The next one is Trench Foot, which is surf punk with great use of harmonica and a music video.
Dude.
When do we know about this music video?
So I saw the TV series V as
you
a
did?
Child, and it was very important to me. This was like my favorite thing in the universe. I vividly remember the scene. Now, the
what?
Scene is from a reprise three-part miniseries that was like made as a finale ending called V, The Final Battle. These people come to Earth, are stranded on Earth or something. I fucking don't remember. But one of them like rips off their mask to reveal their lizard face underneath. And then there's all sorts of like interesting like themes of embracing the immigrant and the traveler, who are these lizard people that are living among us. And in this scene, the mother who has been sleeping with a V person, V for fuck, it's visitor. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Finds out that her baby is a lizard baby because she sees the baby and the baby comes out and it's not a lizard and the lizard looks normal. So she was worried because she found out later, I think maybe, that her lover was a lizard man, but the baby didn't come out a lizard. So it's all going to be okay. She didn't have a lizard baby. And then out comes a fucking forked tongue. Bang!
And this is the music video.
That's the fucking music video.
Pretentful. They just took their song and put it over this clip.
Wonderful. This is so special for me. Oh, I know the fuck out of it. It was my favorite thing in the universe.
Wow. Now two of your favorite things have collided over many decades.
Finally. How did you got your V the Final Battle in my King Gizzard. You got your King Gizzard in my V the Final Battle.
Two great tastes.
Shit, it's so good. There's also a pretty great live video of this that we left in the playlist for you with just full commitment to being a fucking glorious mess. When you're playing the drums with maracas, all you need is a cymbal and a snare. And I can't tell if Eric is even playing the cymbal in both directions at one point with the maraca up and down. He's hitting it both ways. It's fucking amazing. Who needs drumsticks?
Last song on Anglesey. Life is cool. We talked about it. Life is cool. Then you die. Stick a needle in your eye.
Because it's fun. Then you crash your wrist, slice your neck. Woo.
Woo. So that's Teenage Gizzard, which includes their first EP, the 12-minute Anglesey. And then we get what's more commonly known as their first EP, which is Willoughby's Beach. I don't know why Willoughby's Beach or why Anglesey disappeared, I guess, is the question.
Yeah, right. No telling. Whatever happened to our first album? Speaking of whopping lengths, all of Willoughby's Beach is 22 minutes and 52 seconds.
This was released on October 10th of 2011, so about 6 months after Anglesey. So they were busy, and this has many more songs, starting with Danger Money.
Production value immediately. Some panning. The left ear starts the song before the right ear joins the song.
Oh, they could kind afford stereo by this point.
Kind of a like almost a delicate start, and then straight off the fucking rails. Of course,
tempo changes.
Fantastic harmonica.
Yes.
Getting a bit more, dare I say, listenable.
Yeah,
I think if you jump straight to this, if you have not been listening to any of the early stuff, but you're a King Giz fan, don't start here, but go through this process. And then I'm really fucking into Danger Money by the time I get to Danger Money in our process.
Right. You have to have gone through the painful birth of King Gizzard to appreciate Danger
right,
Money.
To appreciate when its forked tongue emerges.
They played Danger Money twice in 2024.
Wild. I like this song.
Yeah. The next song is Blacktooth, which they played three times in 2024. And this is the song that has survived the modern Gizzardization. Anyway, they played
That's
this
correct.
More recently.
And apparently described Blacktooth as 2 minutes and 30 seconds of music to rob banks to.
This one also has a music video, though not quite as exciting as Trenchfoot.
In a way. Elephants? What do you call this, like, mirrored effect?
Yeah, it's a vertical mirror effect. Just a single elephant, is it not? In a field, walking.
You ever see this, like, as a magic trick or something, where a guy, like, puts his nose against a mirror and, like, pulls his hair up and... You just lift up one leg and it looks like you're lifting yourself off the ground.
Mm-hmm.
And it's basically elephants doing that to some changing light effects. It's super fucking trippy, though. It sounds like it could really produce quite a good or bad trip in a certain state of mind. Yeah, Mom says, I'm not okay because I've been talking in my sleep. Dad says, I'm not okay because I don't ever brush my teeth. I do hope they brush their teeth now.
I hope so. I wonder if we could see this at Forest Hills or Field of Vision. It feels like they could play this.
That's true. I mean, they've got a lot of that. You know, it'll only cover a little bit of time. You could make it last more than 2 minutes and 30 seconds.
You don't have to, though. It's fine.
You really don't have to.
The next song is
Lunch Meat.
Lunch Meat.
Driving rock bass into Stooges sounding punk guitar, maybe a la Search and Destroy almost. A messy psych effect finish.
Now the next song is Crocodile.
The next song is Crocodile. Kind of a noir jazz rock. I thought like Peter Gunn.
Mm-hmm. I feel it's the bass line is not too far out from Ants and Bats.
Yeah, right, that's true. Yeah. The sinister sound mixes well with these certainly sarcastic lyrics. Just say God is on your side, he's on your side, he's on your side, he's on your side. Mm-hmm. Just say God. Just say God. Which leads me to suspect that Crocodile is an intentional misspelling of Crooked Lie.
Interesting. And
just say God is on your side, he's on your side. He's on, like, nothing ever breaks the facade in the lyrics, but it's just the kind of horse shit that I think really pisses Stu off.
Mm-hmm. Thanks, God.
Thanks, God. God damn, Stu can... I mean, this man can fucking scream. It is one of his greatest gifts to this world. There are a lot of rock screamers, but, like, this is why Stu was born to be a rock god. He screams so fucking well in so many fucking different ways. Man... Can the man scream? There's a nice live version in the playlist with Eric using maracas as drumsticks again.
Mm-hmm. The next song is Let It Bleed, which is not the album you're thinking of.
No, it's not the album you're thinking of, though the harmonica has it's this thick Stonesy style overdriven effect on the harmonica for Ambie's solo that for me is very much a Mick Jaggery kind of sound.
Mm-hmm.
different sound than some of the other stuff on this EP. Jangly, acoustic,
and different,
slower singing.
Different progressions. This is not like a standard 1-4-5 that they're mostly playing.
Almost a U2-ish kind of pop, rocky, like early U2-ish kind of sound.
Then Deadbeat, which according to streaming services is one of the most played songs from Willoughby's Beach.
There was a band, what were they, the KLM or something, who talked about producing music algorithmically to make it popular, and produced this song. Fuck, I don't know what it's called. Ba da 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 da. Hey, ba da 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 da. Yeah, ba da 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 bump.
Anyway, Rock and Roll Part One
was just totally made to be popular, and then kind of the Blur song two doon 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 doo 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 yahoo doon 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 super simple, like four chord progression. This has that sound for me. There's something like, I don't know, that just like touches the lizard brain, and I wonder if that's why this was so popular. Though there's a beautiful fat ambi guitar, harmonica solo in there that I love to high hell.
That's Deadbeat. Next, Dustin Fletcher. What's a Fletcher?
You would have to ask Dustin Fletcher, who was a footy player for Essendon from 1993 to 2015. Otherwise, it's someone who makes arrows, I believe, which perhaps Dustin's people once were. Dustin Fletcher, you gotta figure that in the footy scene, that's what he was known as.
Where's he from again?
Essendon.
Dustin? What?
He played for Essendon.
I don't know what that is.
I don't fucking either. E-S-S-E-N-D-O-N. It's a team.
Even know what country that's in.
Australian rules football, I think, is mostly played in Zimbabwe.
I knew it.
Pop harmonies laid over surf punk. Stu kind of doing a Lou Reed. There's an actual moment of guitar solo.
Stone Mullet is next. Jacket. I like this song, and I would like them to play this live. I think this would be fun. They haven't played it since 2011.
Ambie's threatened to a couple times.
That's where it came up.
Yeah, right. Jacket, Green Out. Green Out, I never heard this term before, but apparently that's like if you get too high on the weed. Like, I think the dude's name was Matt, who we met at Field of Vision. Hi Matt, if you're listening, we tried to get him to eat some of the like spicy cilantro rice that we got from that I got.
This show was from spicy.
Yeah, it was fucking good. He just needed to eat. He was so high and he was really upset about it. I don't like marijuana because I don't want that to happen. He was so upset at how high he was and his friends were just kind of like helping him through it. I don't have a position about drugs for or against officially in this podcast, except I just fucking don't. I green out if
very
I just
easily. Both of us do.
I can't do it. And I smoked incredible amounts of weed for a large portion of my life, and I fucking can't do it anymore.
It's amazing what we can tolerate, but not THC.
Nah, it is amazing how much and how little of certain things. Stu explained when he was in high school, there was a band called Stoned Mullet, and he thought that was really cool. And it's apparently, I guess it's a play on an Australian phrase, like a stunned mullet.
Uh-huh, the fish?
Yeah, right, because you might, like, you catch a mullet, and then before you, like, kill it or whatever, like, you, like, hit it, I guess with a hammer or something, before you, like, strip it or kill it or even take the hook out, or maybe you just, like, clock it with a punch in the chin.
Okay. And then the next song on Willoughby's Beach is the titular Willoughby's Beach. Very poppy. This feels like a pop punk song that I know, that I can't figure out what it is. It's very familiar to me.
I get, and I struggle, I was stressed about this for a while, but the Who's Who Are You?
Mm-hmm.
Somehow it tickled that in my brain.
That's interesting, because I was thinking about them, not this song specifically, but the Who feels like a big influence, early Who, especially, feels like a big influence. Like some of the stuttering, like from my generation, you hear through this early surf rock stuff, and that stuttering from the Who was mimicking the, like, overly stimulated speed takers that were very common in that in their scene at the time.
Yeah, there's some good Who content right now if anyone's looking for it on History of Rock and Roll in 500 Songs.
Wonderful podcast.
Just recently going through the Tommy era.
Yeah, awesome. History of Rock Music in 500 Songs is a fucking gift.
It's quite damn special. We've talked about it before. I'm sure it'll come up again.
And that is the band these guys were in. Let me list it again. They were in The Houses, Stu, Lucas, Cavs, Sambro's Automobile with Ambrose and Lucas, Revolver and Son with Stu and Cook, Goodnight Owl, Joey and Eric, Trump Disco, Joey, Al Mac and Jack. Stu was in that. And then the early Giz EPs. What an interesting band. It's... like I said at the beginning, I didn't want to do this, but I'm glad I did it because I appreciate where they are now a lot more.
Yeah, me too. And I'm excited to come back through early parts of the era again, but not immediately. I'm excited to do that again someday.
I think it'll be cool when we hear every, like, once a year when they play one of these early songs.
Yeah, and right.
Like, oh, fuck, it's fucking Ants and Bats or whatever.
That would be amazing.
What are we going to do for our next episode?
Can we do something, I don't know, more of a crowd pleaser? And by crowd, I mean like all the different parts of my brain. Like, I don't know, Palp Fest, maybe?
Palp Fest 2023. Let's do it.
Great. Oh, God, that's good news. I love this show. I can't wait to go watch it again in preparation for this episode.
You'll find a link to it in the show notes for this episode, Palp Fest. Yeah, this is a great 2-hour set. Fun stuff. Wonderful.
Yeah, why did we pick that show? Because it's great. And yeah, it's everybody knows it.
It's pretty simple. We're just simple
men. We're just ordinary men.
Normal men. Do we have some Omnium Gatherum?
Omnium Gatherum. Let's see. Oh, we won Battle of the Bands last night.
What?
My band, yeah, totally. So we're gonna go on. We won the preliminaries. We move on to the semifinals now.
You guys sound better than early Giz.
I don't know if I agree. Yeah,
that's awesome.
I think the voting was rigged. Yeah, silly and stupid, but a good time. So that was fun, and I'm very tired today because that just happened last night. I do want to briefly talk about other things I'm listening to, if I can, because Blood Incantation, I watched all of the Stargate video, and that's really something special.
Blood Incantation, who will be playing at Field Division, who I think
is from
Colorado.
Have you seen this video?
Some of it.
The little person in your household might like it. It's quite upsetting.
That's nice. Like, you think it's actually scary for a child, for a 9-year-old, or fun?
No. Well, two things to say. One, your child has a strong stomach. Two, my child, the little captain, enjoyed it.
No. Okay.
But it's weird and sort of upsetting. But I know, for example, your child made it through Boys with the Characteristics of Wolves and loves that video, which I think is more upsetting.
Oh, by Unknown Moral Orchestra. Yeah.
Yes. Who I am going to see Wednesday.
I'm very jealous. I saw them last week and I love them.
Yeah, I'm so excited.
I would love Unknown Moral Orchestra to play at Field Division. Maybe too big. I don't know.
Yeah, they could be. I think that's right. Shayna Cleveland, who is the lead singer for La Luz and has been on KXP a bunch of times, in the latest videos with the woman who is also the lead creator for Space Moth, and they have a really cool synergy together, a lot of cool keyboard sounds and kind of psyche, but like beautiful harmonies, and I really enjoyed them. And so that'll be cool to see her. Shayna Cleveland will do some solo stuff at Field of Vision, but yeah, also will be playing with La Luz. I assume this incarnation of La Luz, because she's had a changing cast of characters over the years. But since this one includes the woman who seems to be the lead of Space Moth, who is also playing at Field of Vision, I would assume that's the iteration of the band that we'll see. And that'll be a lot of fun.
Yeah, I don't know what we're going to do. There's too much. When are we going to sleep?
No, it's a problem. No, it's a problem. There are a few bands that I was less excited about, which is
But we
helpful.
Don't have the schedule yet.
No, we don't. But there's no way that you're going to do Lisa Belladonna in the middle of the day. I pray that she's going to be late at night, because she's fucking awesome. You got to check out. I saw this long set of her. It's like an evening with Lisa Belladonna, and she's just in this like office sized Nathan machine.
Whoa. What?
Producing amazing fucking music.
What?
I strongly recommend it. I think it's quite special.
Okay. Lisa Belladonna.
Yeah. Go check it out. That's gonna be cool. That's gotta be a late night thing.
Oh, it could be. You think? All right.
I do think.
Last weekend, I went to Las Vegas to see the band Fish with a PH perform at the Sphere with a PH. But this is about Giz, because that was an awesome show. The Sphere is fun as fuck. And I made a point of saying hello and talking to everyone I saw wearing Giz gear.
Good man.
Hats, shirts, tattoos. One guy named John.
How many?
15, maybe? I talked to one of the guys I saw playing a slot machine wearing a Fishies hat. His name was Johnny from Chicago. I bring him up because he told me something really interesting. Sorry?
Fishies hat. It's extra cute for the venue.
And he said he first saw Giz in 2019 with his wife. And soon after, his wife passed away after that show. And he then a therapy. He went headlong into Giz and has been ever since. And the band inspired him to like make his first solo international trip to see them in Barcelona last year.
Wow.
He told me this great story where he had a dream that he made an album with Cookie. And then the next day he met Cookie after the show. And he said, Cookie, I had a dream that we made an album together. And Cookie said, was it any good, mate? And then he said, can I take a selfie? And Cookie said, well, here's your album cover. And I thought that was a beautiful like story of healing and fun and how sweet the band is. I met a guy from Buena Vista sitting in the Sphere section 405.
That's what
I asked him. How do you pronounce that town? And he said he code switches just for all of you going to Field of Vision. He said, it depends who I'm talking to. If I'm talking to a crusty old local, I say Buena Vista. If I'm talking to a tourist, I'll say Buena Vista. But the most common way I say it is just BV. So there we have it. And I can't remember your name. I know it started with a vowel. Sorry. Section 405 at the Sphere.
BV seems like the most agnostic to questions of colonialism.
I wonder. Yeah. So if you met a guy, if a guy with curly hair said to you, King Gizzard, best band in the world, because that's what I said to everyone I talked to, then you might have been talking to me at the Sphere.
Brave. You said that at the Fish Show.
I said that at the Fish Show. Yeah.
Oh, you motherfucker. Glad to hear it. No question mark.
No question mark. Best band in the world. I had a lot of hugs and high fives. Next episode, Palp, P-A-L-P
yes,
Fest.
Please, a wanton relief from the hard homework that we did in service of you. But I think it's fun. I think you'll find the videos that we posted from this to be a lot of fun to tour through. And Palp Fest is just a joy. I mean, this is the easiest. This is like falling off a log. I love this show.
Like falling off a log, yeah. The video for Palp Fest and everything else is in the show notes.
I have nothing to say at the end of the show. And as always, be careful about bringing your 10-year-old child to a GWAR show, even if it says it's an all-ages show.
Okay. All right. I love you.
Love you. Thank you, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Thank you very much for your cooperation.
That was fucking sick.